WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnuts. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, everyone. This is Angelina Love.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is EC3.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
This is WWE superstar Natalya.
Hi, this is Brie. And this is Nikki. And we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Haughty.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rant. And you're listening to the greatest rant.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you.
Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
I knew you'd come.
Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, or WildTalkRadio.com, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it if you get a quick second. Check out the fine folks over at FightBoot.com. They post awesome stories all the time, and you should check it out because we love them and they're amazing. I'm your host, Lindsay Warren. Joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
Did you know that we're on Facebook, at Rock Radio Show? Did you know we're on Twitter, at Rock Radio Show?
Well, I definitely know we're on Facebook because I accidentally shared one of our posts as the Rack account. So, yes, I do. I am aware of the Facebook.
Did you know you can interact with us live on Twitter, Rock Radio Show, Wild Talk Radio, and at Lindsay Warren?
Yes, because my phone blows up every show because y'all are blowing up my phone with messages and tweets. So keep doing that because we love the interactivity. We love it when you guys talk to us, especially when we're live on the air. It's awesome stuff.
Oh, Matt's been listening to CB Radio on YouTube. Yes, I've reworked the CB Radio YouTube. Follow CB Radio Live on Twitter and you can find the YouTube channel because CB Radio 10 is this Saturday.
You can put that on YouTube?
I can put CB Radio on YouTube, yeah.
Okay. When is your coup de grace? Is that this week? No, was that last week?
What do you mean coup de grace?
You know, your whole sponsored thing?
That's a week after.
Is that a surprise, or can we...
No,
can
everyone knows. You can mention it.
Y'all, you can win stuff from Pez! 2 weeks! You can win things from Pez, because Mr. Producer Man over here is a boss, and got that sponsored by Pez.
Great and Great Debate, sponsored by Pez, on December 9th, CBRadioLive.com. Bam.
Hey!
Yes, Matt, I said you can win stuff from Pez. Bam. I think we said win stuff. Yes, I did. I did. Because I said whoever wins to pick them the predictions things. I said on Saturday. I know what I said. Yes, you can win a gift basket from Pez. Bam. CBRadioLive.com.
Yep. Like, so anyway.
You had me confused, man. I'm busy. Anyway, continue.
He's producing.
I've been doing a lot of things. Anyway.
Yes, he has. He's had an interesting day.
I've had interesting days, yes. Anyway, let's get to the show. The Rock right here on Wild Talk Radio Network, presented by always as Gerwick.net and Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow Journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211.
Ding! So we have a lot to get into tonight. We have news. We have SmackDown. We have NXT. And there is no pay-per-view.
Yay!
means we get a discussion. So what are we going to talk about? Well, a certain group in Japan is talking about invading the U.S. and having their own show. So we're going to break that down and tell you all about it a little bit later in the show. Hint, hint, it's the Bullet Club, just so everybody knows.
So you mentioned something, and we should get right to it presented by Gerwick.net, the news. So this is why she does this part of it.
You can speak.
I can totally speak. I can speak. We should talk about this story first, then.
Hmm.
Since you mentioned it's not a pay-per-view week, there's going to be a lot less of them.
Yes! I'm so happy. This makes me so happy. They're lightening the pay-per-view schedule. They're taking it from, what, like 18 to 16 or something like that?
There's 14 pay-per-views next year.
That's so amazing! And best of all, they're having more joint pay-per-views, including Money in the Bank. It is now officially a co-branded pay-per-view. Very smart move on their part.
Well, it's the only co-branded pay-per-view, yeah, but yeah. It's one other co-branded one. Here we go. Here's the lineup. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
January 28th is the Royal Rumble. February 25th is the Elimination Chamber Raw pay-per-view. SmackDown, 2 weeks later, it's Fastlane. Then we have WrestleMania. Then Raw gets Backlash. SmackDown, that's May 6th. SmackDown, May 27th is Payback. Then we have the joint Money in the Bank on June 17th. July 15th is Raw's Battleground. SummerSlam on August 19th. Extreme Rules on the 16th for Monday Night Raw in September. So let's go from there. September 30th, 2 weeks later, Hell in a Cell for SmackDown. So SmackDown goes from end of May to the end of September with no solo pay-per-view, just so everyone's aware. Then we have TLC for Raw on October 21st. We have November 18th Survivor Series. And then Clash of Champions on December 16th, which is a SmackDown pay-per-view to end the year. So things that are similar, SmackDown continues to get Hell in a Cell, and Clash of Champions, Raw keeps TLC. I like there's only 14 pay-per-views.
I'm very happy that there's only 14 pay-per-views. That's going to make doing this show so much better. Because we actually miss having discussions on this show. Because, like we said before, every week, every other week, it's either a pay-per-view recap or a pay-per-view preview. And it's just constant. It's nonstop. And you get so tired of talking about pay-per-views and doing pick'em and everything else. And it's like, God, I just really don't want to sit around every other week and watch a pay-per-view. Like, I just really don't want to do that. That's what I hated about the brand split before, was there was just too many of them. And I just didn't. And then it was, I didn't have the money to watch them all. And now it's, I don't really have the time. You know, I really don't, to be sitting down and watching 3 hours of pay-per-views every other week. So this will be nice that some of the pay-per-views are getting dropped. And I think they realized that. They probably looked at the numbers and they were like, yeah, this was just too much.
It did not add the additional income to the network that they were hoping, so why spend when you can save, and that's the plan going forward.
Yep.
And for those who wanted Starcade, that would be another quote-unquote pay-per-view, so when you clamor for less, here's your wish. Just saying.
So, yay for that, but, well, speaking of getting more, WWE Studios had an exciting announcement that they are expanding out into TV and digital.
Yeah, that's interesting that they're going to be doing that.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, okay, and we've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. We have talked about this before, both privately and I think on the show, where they do have WWE Studios and they do the films, and the films do all right. Like, I don't think they do any big box office numbers. I think See No Evil
for a while was the highest grossing one of them all.
Yeah, I think it was either one of the Marines or See No Evil or something like that. Anyway, that was the highest grossing film for them. And we've talked about the power of the network before and how they could produce their own content, their alternate TV for the network specifically, where you could do sitcoms, you could do dramas, you could do, you know, any number of shows with your talent, and that gives your talent a way to sort of branch out and try other things and do other things, and, you know, they don't necessarily need to take away from the wrestling schedule to go shoot the show. You know, same thing can be said for digital. You can produce web-only shows that, you know, are for the website only or for, again, for the network. I mean, I'm not... When they say digital, digital's kind of hard to peg down what they mean by digital, than the network.
Well, we can get into that a little bit more here in a second. Our new expanded focus on television digital continues to push WWE Studios as a multi-platform production company with the ability to create original content for global distribution, as we have successfully done for the big screen. We look forward to identifying key partners to work alongside us while creating opportunities to use our on-screen WWE talent in new and exciting ways. Vince McMahon says, given the size of our fan base and their appetite for WWE programming, well beyond our core in-ring shows, this is the ideal time to further establish the WWE brand with new genres across platforms. WWE Studios is open for business with this new TV and digital initiative.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to put in my request now. I want the Febreze Buddy Cop show. Like, the Fashion Files legit needs to be a thing. I want them to do something with the Suplex City concept. I want this.
Right.
Just the whole notion of a complete and total alternate universe based on WWE with Suplex City is really kind of intriguing to me, because I've said this before. You could do do it almost like Gotham, and I feel like it could be really interesting depending on how it's written. But that's just me. But yeah, I'm really excited for this prospect that they could bring it to both conventional television and to the network.
Now, digital. Digital would include what they call Facebook?
Yeah, it could include Facebook. They could do a lot of social stuff, including, well, they've already started, where they're launching their own Facebook show on Facebook Live.
Yeah, there's going to be a Facebook Live only show coming this June. It's January. That is going to be a tryout series, which will be taped live or filmed live right after SmackDown, airing on Facebook Live. Reportedly going to be the Mixed Match Challenge, whatever that turns out to be, featuring Raw and SmackDown superstars, meaning women and men in matches together, possibly.
Hey!
That is one of the concepts being thrown around. And it will replace 205 Live in that time slot, which means 205 Live would then probably be taped before SmackDown, or even before Raw. That would, you know, save people money. Just saying. But probably before SmackDown, and then this will air on the Facebook, and then 205 Live would then air probably, I would assume, a half hour later on the network. So at 10:30, they would go to the network, and you can watch 205 Live. That's however long this show is going. So you push it back however long. That's the current plan. I like this. I like the concept. I like something new, because let's face it, 205 Live ain't working.
No, it's sad. Sadly not, and I think they're making steps to improve 205 Live, or get more interest in 205 Live. That includes possibly branching the superstars out on that show into the main roster, and vice versa, bringing the main roster into the show as a way to sort of mix it up, which I think is fair, because it really is a crime for the cruiserweights that they can't branch out beyond 205 Live and that whole division. It's like, why can't you have two of them go after the tag titles? Why can't you have somebody go, hey, I want the Intercontinental title, or I want the US title, or whatever? You know, about the only one they can't really go after is the world title, and even then they probably could if they really wanted to, because I think Rey Mysterio set that baseline a long time ago. But
who wants to fight Brock Lesnar?
Nobody wants to fight Brock Lesnar.
There you go.
So, except maybe Smojo. But,
he's not a cruiserweight.
No, he's not.
This is not the No Limit sex division.
Shh, we don't talk about that. Anyway, so I think that could be good for them to mix them into the roster. I mean, I understand keeping them separate was to make it special, make it unique, but you separated them to the point that it's not interesting, and we're seeing the show suffering because they don't really know what to do. And you've got a lot of really great stuff going on right now, especially with Drew Gulak and his freaking PowerPoints. Just let that man give his PowerPoint presentation. Put it on, you know what? Put Drew Gulak's PowerPoint on Facebook Live.
You should tweet him about that.
I will tweet him about that. You'll have to remind me later, but yeah. I mean, stuff like that, you know, as a way to sort of like get people to interact with it, because you have to generate interest somehow.
By the way, it should be on Tout, the PowerPoint. The PowerPoint.
Tout is not a thing.
Tell that to Daniel Bryan.
I will get him on the show, and I will happily tell Daniel Bryan Tout is not a thing.
He would disagree with you.
That's fine.
Anyway.
We can agree to disagree.
Anyway.
But we're talking about WWE Studios.
Yes.
And we mentioned the Marine.
Yes.
And, well, it seems like there's going to be another Marine, because it was announced that the Marine 6 has started filming, or is getting ready to start filming.
Started on Monday.
And it will feature The Miz, of course.
Former multi-time guest of the show.
Becky Lynch.
Hopeful one day guest of the show.
And Shawn Michaels.
Oh, yeah. Former two-time guest of the show.
Two-time.
Just saying.
Becky, come on the show.
Hi.
We're nice people. We're very friendly.
We don't bite. She makes cookies.
I do make cookies. I don't share them, but I do make cookies. Anyway. So yeah, so that should be interesting. That should be good. And best of all, you know, Ms. and Maurice can maybe put the new Marine stuff towards the new house, because Total Divas.
Check out the Rack Collection Total Divas, now available at RackRadioShow.com.
I love them so much.
And there's talk of them getting their own show.
Yes. Yes.
So.
That would watch the crap out of that.
So we'll say. But yeah, cool. They're doing another Marine movie because that's Miz's franchise, which is why he dropped the Intercontinental title, which is why Becky Lynch got beat up on SmackDown Live last week.
And why Shawn Michaels lost in the Abbott?
Sure.
We'll go with that. Anyway, speaking of NXT, not really, but, you know, it's a tie-in anyway. We need to do a Blame Brent update.
We don't have a sound effect update, so just say the update.
So, Drew McIntyre did, in fact, hurt himself at the last TakeOver, and it was announced he will be out until WrestleMania with a torn bicep. He did have surgery this past week.
He's hopeful to return that. So, officially, one more time, Drew McIntyre.
Hashtag Blame Brent.
And speaking of announcements, Tribute to the Troops has been officially announced. It will be airing on December 15th. They are taping this week at the Naval Base in San Diego. And they're doing it on an actual base this time. They're not doing it in an arena, which always leads to really fun sets.
Indeed. So remember, on December 15th, this is the only place you can get a live post-show of Tribute to the Troops right here on the Rack.
Ding!
Because it's airing like before the show, so we'll probably be watching it and then talking about it.
Yay, built-in content. Yay! And last but certainly not least. Well, no, not last, because we have another story. I forgot.
Yeah. There was a
There
was a late addition to the news.
There was a very late addition. Technically should be two, but we're still sourcing one out. John Cena, of all people, is in legal trouble.
Say what?
Because apparently he sold a brand new car that Ford gave him as part of a sponsorship deal. And, well, John turned around and flipped the car and made a nice, tidy little profit of it. And Ford's upset because, according to per his contract, John was supposed to keep the car for a minimum of 2 years, which he obviously did not do. And it creates all kinds of problems for Ford, which they're now suing him for. Cena apologized and said that he's willing to do whatever he needs to do to work it out with Ford. He's not going to be a jerk about it, so that's always good.
Yes.
But what's really interesting to me is Cena cited expenses as the reason why he sold the car.
He needed fast cash.
How much is this wedding going to cost?
Probably a lot of money.
Damn. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of is that it's for the money, for the wedding, but I don't know. Because it's just like, you know, you have to figure he sold it at least for what it's worth, if not more. So if it's worth $500K, that's a good chunk of change.
Yeah. Like, he was picked out of a group, just that group, to be able to purchase the car. And part of the deal is when you're part of that group, you have to keep it for those 2 years. But at least he paid to pay bills and other property. He sold the, Cena told the company he sold the car along with other property to pay bills. So yeah, this wedding must be expensive, or he's buying a new house. He could be buying a new house.
He could be buying a new house. They might be relocating. You know what? Honestly, they might be relocating. He might be leaving Florida and going to California.
He may be doing that, or maybe moving somewhere else in Florida, since everyone can know where his house is because of Total Bellas.
There's a way to fix that.
You sell your house like Miz did.
Yeah, like Natty did, like Miz has, now probably John Cena. And also, I mean, I think, well, if they are in fact selling that house, this is all speculation. It's, you know, that's the house that John bought when he was married the first time. And yes, that's his and Nikki's home. But, you know, it's like, you know what, why don't we make a new home? Because there might be a lot of bad memories associated with it. There's good, there's bad. But, you know, it could be, well, we want to give this marriage every chance. So let's
make
a new house together.
Right. This will be their home, not just... She's not signing a rental agreement in his home. This will be their home.
Their forever home. But also, I mean, you have to figure, because you see his house, and it's a beautiful house. It's a showpiece. And that's exactly why he bought it, is it is in fact a showpiece. Is the upkeep on that has to be insane.
Yes.
You know, in terms of the bills, in terms of the taxes, just everything. It's got to be absolutely insane. So if he's, you know, liquidating assets, maybe buy a different house, I could see that.
He did buy Nikki another house. Another San Diego, California house for their anniversary, says Ashley on Twitter. Well, there you go. That could be a thing.
That could be a thing. Maybe he's buying one in Hollywood, too. Who knows? How many houses does a man need? We're going to find out.
Pretty much.
You meant to hit that?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I had it queued up for him and singing Cena's theme, so I wanted to hit the button.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. And now our last and final story, kind of switching gears. Impact Wrestling has officially changed its stance on allowing characters / talent to use their personas that were based in Impact Wrestling outside of Impact Wrestling, aka the Broken Universe.
I knew you'd come.
This is really interesting. I mean, really seriously. Basically, what this means is they are dropping IP on everything. And it's like, hey, guess what? If you did it in Impact, we really don't care if you do it anywhere else. So if Bobby Roode wanted to, Bobby Roode could do the It Factor. AJ Styles could do AJ Styles from Impact. Joe could do Joe from Impact. Angle could do, you know what? They could do the freaking Voodoo Kim Mafia if they wanted to.
Or, here, how about this? Not only can they do the Broken Universe, which will now become Woken, so WWE can own Woken and then Mac can do Broken later if they leave. Apparently, they also sold the other San Diego home, the first one. I'm reading Twitter.
Oh, the beach house?
Mm-hmm. Apparently. That's according to Ashley on Twitter. Someone like Ethan Carter III can now be Ethan Carter III, or EC3, wherever he goes.
Well, he's one of the only ones they haven't gotten.
And his contract is up. Well, they had him, but now they have him.
They had him, but now he's done what a lot of guys have done. He's gone out on the indies. He's found himself. He's found a character that works for him. And now he can take it with him, which is always helpful when they can do that. Because, you know, that's sometimes the really unfortunate thing about talent is, you know, they find a character that works and a gimmick that works. And they get all settled into it and used to it. And then it's like, you know, somebody goes, oh, hey, you can't use that. You got to use something else. And then they have to find themselves again, which sometimes they never do. You know, sometimes people's like they're fantastic on the indies because they had this great character on the indies and they can't do it for whatever reason in WWE or Impact or wherever. So now it's like, well, I have to figure out who I am because I've been doing this character for so long.
Right. So also James Storm, whose contract is up. He can go wherever he wants and be the cowboy James Storm.
I think he owns that.
He may, but I'm just throwing it out there.
If he's smart, he owns it.
If he's smart, he owns it. But you get the point. Everyone can be who they are going forward. And
oh yeah, no, I agree. And to me, it's like I've seen a lot of really mixed reactions on this. To me, I'm not sure. I think it's a foolish move on their part.
So here's the deal. If they went forward with the Matt Hardy situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are probably going to be things coming out that the former regime did that would look bad against this new current regime. And because of this process looking bad in the public eye, the decision was made to go forward in this direction. So there are things, they're doing this, one, to save money, two, to probably save face with a lot of people. And since their whole idea is to bring people in from different companies, they're not, basically the homegrown Impact talent is not going, there's not going to be a lot of homegrown Impact. It's going to be a mixture from everywhere else. So it's like, they can't justify holding the rights to certain people if they're bringing in people from everywhere. If that makes sense.
They can and they can't. They can't justify it if the person does the exact same thing that they've been doing before and they bring it in from another company or they bring it in from the indies. Like, if they were doing that before, complete with the name and everything else, then they can't copyright it. That's generally why WWE changes names, is because they can copyright their names and then they take that exact same character that they were doing and they just do it under a different name.
Right.
Which is why when you see people go back out onto the indies after they've been in, you know, something like WWE or Impact, they go back to doing the exact same thing under the previous name because it's not copyrighted. Like, anything prior to signing the contract with either WWE or Impact, they could not copyright because it wasn't done under their IP rights.
Right.
Moving forward, that's not the case. Which is why the whole Matt Hardy situation was so tricky, was because supposedly they both had the trademark for it, but it was Hardy's concept that fell under Impact's intellectual property law or rule. So now it's like, well, who really owns it? Who gets to do it? Matt's the creator of it. He's the originator of it. It's his character, but Impact technically owns it due to IP. So that's where the crux of that all was. I think this is more a move really to save money.
It is.
And save a little face. But honestly, I think they're hurting for cash right now. Not in the sense that they're going to go bankrupt, but it's the end of the year and you get your contract renewals in the beginning of the year. So they'll be flush with cash again from those. And it's, look, we're not going to fight that battle. We're not going to waste any more money on this crap. We're, you know what? You want it? Fine. Here, take it, have it, enjoy it. We're going to go off and do our own thing. Peace out. I feel like that's what this is.
Huh.
What?
So yeah, I'm with you 100%. We have breaking news on this show.
Oh no.
Courtesy of SquaredCircleSirens.com.
Oh.
Sources within Impact Wrestling have told us that the current Impact Wrestling Knockout, spoiler, and future Knockouts champion, Laurel Van Ness, aka Chelsea Green, recently asked for her release from the company after the most recent set of TV taping. While Impact has yet to grant her release, we are told it should be coming shortly.
That's interesting. So they put the title on her at the tapings?
They did. Because when Gail retired, she had to give up the belt, so they crowned a new champion, which is coming up in a few weeks again. Spoiler. And then, yeah, so maybe she'll be back to drop it in January and then be done?
Or she just vacates the title.
Or they're doing tapings at some indie shows coming up soon, so they could always have it drop there as well. So they don't have to tape it in Orlando to do it.
Hmm.
So yeah, that's an interesting story that just started coming out a few minutes ago. So yeah, and I believe people, it's Squared Circle Sirens always break really interesting diva news or women's news. So yeah, they're the ones right on it. So there you go. Should be interesting to see what happens.
Should be interesting to see what happens. But on that note, I say we take our first break of the evening.
Sounds like a plan.
So when we come back, what is this? A discussion?
Huh?
We have a discussion.
Huh?
I know, I'm super excited.
What?
So, what we're going to be discussing is the other breaking news of this week, which is that, you know, Cody Rhodes and the Bucks, they're up to something. What are they up to? Well, you gotta tune in to find out. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, believe it tonight, I do happen to have a bit of a show plan for you. I know, you're like, what? I know, it's a bit surprising, I know, and, you know, sometimes you just gotta bear with me, though. I got what you need.
Celebrating 10 years of CB Radio.
I challenge the people who are listening, because we are trying to be the number one file talk radio show on the air. You have to get your grandmother, great aunt, your second cousin, your cousin who thinks that he's your second aunt, to listen to the show. And you need to get him on the air and disfigure him from the world or something. But you need to get him on the show and listen, because goddammit, I'll eat your babies.
Join us for the 10-year celebration of your only excuse to be home on a Saturday night. CB Radio. December 2nd. Midnight-ish Eastern, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means... Brock Lesnar, your last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're gonna put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins, and you are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
To the Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at instagram.com/mvg1211. And if you're listening to us over at wildtalkradio.com, gerwick.net, or rackradioshow.com, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. And well, if you get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at fightboot.com as well. And if you're just tuning in, you missed the news segment, but you're just in time for a discussion. A rare unicorn has happened once again, where we don't have a pay-per-view this week. We have a gap, so we get to talk about stuff. My God, what are we going to do with ourselves?
I have to be creative on this show again?
I know! What? Just what?
What?
So, well, we decided to get creative. And this is what we came up with. So, one news story that we did not talk about intentionally was that this past week, Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks announced that they are, in fact, going on an ambitious journey. They have decided that they themselves are going to finance and book a show in a 10,000 seat arena at a location in either the United States or Canada.
Or the UK.
Or the UK, because some of the...
I don't think it was Canada, it was just US and UK.
I think originally I thought it was Canada, but it could be Canada because, you know, there are four locations. Canada's not involved, but you never know. The locations were San Francisco, Ontario, Canada,
no, Ontario,
Chicago.
No, it's Ontario, California.
Or, I'm sorry, yeah. I always forget about that. Ontario, California. For whatever reason, when I think Ontario, I think Canada.
Most people do.
So anyway, so San Francisco, Ontario, California, London, and Chicago for these bookings.
They are going all in.
They're going all in. Like I said, this is self-financed. They've made sure to highlight that, which got them quite a bit of flack from several different promoters, including Jim Smallman of Progress Wrestling, which we'll get to when we do Tweet of the Week.
Yep.
Bless that man. And I think this kind of caused a stir in the wrestling community in general because, well, number one, to book a show, you have to have a promoter's license, which, as far as I'm aware, none of them have.
None of them have a promoter's license as of now, I don't think.
And number two, Cody and the Bucks have an exclusive deal with ROH, meaning they cannot work for anybody else, including themselves, I believe.
In the U.S.
In the U.S.
In a domestic deal, yeah.
Dallas is giving this game away.
Well, anyway. Well, so what are your thoughts?
Okay. So part of me is halfway impressed and part of me is just what? So it takes a lot of balls to do something like this. And I have to commend them for having that and for going ahead and saying, hey, you know what? I want to prove a point. I have no idea what that point is that they want to prove, but they want to prove something that we can sell a 10,000 seat arena, that we don't need a promotion behind us to do that. Well, actually, yes, you do because you don't have a promoter's license. But we don't need someone like WWE or even New Japan to sell out an arena. So I think it's a gutsy move. It may pay off. It may not pay off. It will cost serious amounts of money to book this show together, or I shouldn't say book, but to put the show together, because not only do you have to rent the building, which is not going to be cheap, and they're not picking cheap locations either, just so everybody's aware. Chicago, London, San Fran, and even Ontario count. California are not cheap places to run a show, although Ontario is probably the cheapest out of all four.
It may be, but still, you're running 10,000 seated buildings. That's at least $100,000.
Then you've got to pay the talent. You've got to potentially bring talent over if you're going to bring people in from Japan, which they likely are, or bring them in from elsewhere in the world, which they likely are. So that's going to be a sizable chunk of change, because if you're bringing people in from international, you have to make it worth their while. And you're probably going to have to find them additional bookings on top of what you're already having them come in for. So that's not going to be easy. And then you have to take care of everything else that, you know, associates with the show, the lighting, the... I don't know if this is going to be produced for TV. I would very much doubt it, but you still have to pay for a lighting rig. You still have to pay for a set. You have to pay for the setup, for the breakdown, all this stuff. I mean, it's not going to be a cheap venture for them. So this could really pay off, or this could really bomb.
Right. It could.
Because on top of all of that, you have the marketing for the show, which means you're going to have to be out there doing free press. You're going to have to be giving interviews. You're going to have to be talking to newspapers, radio stations, shows like this, on top of, you know, papering the town, putting it into... on putting commercials together, putting ads together. I mean, it's just, it's a huge collaborative do.
Right.
And again, all for, which to me doesn't seem worth it, but I guess it's worth it to them, where it's, they don't need a major promotion behind them to sell a 10,000 seat arena. They themselves can do it on their own, which to me, it's like, I'm sure you can. Like, I want to believe you can, and every part of me wants you to succeed. Legit wants them to succeed as much as I don't care for the Bucks, because they're putting their own money for this. It's like, I really hope you do actually do what you say you're going to do just so you make that money back. But also part of me is like, wow, that's such a dick egotistical thing to do. To say, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it just, to me, it's like, it's such a dick thing, which is what the Bullet Club is. They're heels. So it makes complete and utter sense.
Yeah. It makes complete sense. But here's the deal. They figure that they have a point to prove. They have a point to prove that they are the top in the act on the in the business right now. They have a point to prove that they are the top stars in business right now. And the only way to do that is to do something no other independent promotion has done, no other promotion in general has done in a decade, at least, other than WWE, and that's to sell out a 10,000 seat arena in the United States. And they believe on their own they can do it.
And for their sakes, I hope they do. But here's the flip side to that coin too. This could prove excessively embarrassing for them, which is why this takes balls to do, is this could fail horribly, and they couldn't, maybe they don't sell the building out. Maybe nobody shows up. I mean, that's the risk of this entire show, is they're banking on the fact that the Bucks and Cody are a household name in the United States. And Cody, I think, is more of a name than the Bucks are, but people are gonna go, Cody Rhodes. Oh yeah, that Stardust guy from WWE.
Yeah.
That's what people here in the States that aren't keyed into ROH and New Japan are going to say is, oh, it's that Stardust guy. Well, is he going to do Stardust? No, he's doing something else now. Well, okay, maybe we'll go, maybe we won't go.
Here's the deal with, they have fans. No doubt they have fans. They buy their merch, and depending on who you believe, how much merch they actually sell and whatever's out there is the deal. It is what it is. But here's the situation. It's like, how much can you milk this fan? You're attempting to milk this fan base a lot. You sell a lot of merch, supposedly, and your merch is supposedly everywhere and whatever. But at some point, what do you charge for this event? How much are your tickets going to be for this event? Are you going to, because you got to make your money back. You cannot lose money on this venture. Okay, you're going to do what? Say the building's $100,000 to rent. Maybe your all-in cost is what? $150,000, $200,000 for the show?
Something like that.
You got to go, what, $50 a ticket? $70 a ticket? Something like that. Plus merch. Plus you're going to want people to buy at least $50 worth of merch to sort of make up your cost. I mean, there's a lot to prove. And again, you mentioned, what do they do? Like, what do they do? Hey, what if they don't sell out? What if they don't sell this building out? Is it a failure if they only get 5,000 people in there? Some people say that's a huge success. But when you're boasting about it, selling out 10,000, when that's your goal and you fall short, how bad do you look, you know? Especially when they open their mouths talking about WWE and how they sell events, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing. Their goal is now, hey, we need to look at, here's WWE. WWE sells all these events. They sell 8,000 people, 7,000, 8,000, 10,000 tickets on a most weekends, maybe 3,000 some shows, whatever. They go from 3,000 to 10,000 seats every weekend, 3 times a weekend, 4 times a weekend, when you include Raw, whatever. It's like the Bucks and Cody believe they can do this once. And if they do it, it's fantastic. But does it really prove anything?
couple of proofs they can do it, but here's the thing. From there, it's, okay, was it a fluke, or do you really have something on your hands? That's the question. You have to do it enough consistently to prove that, yes, you are, in fact, able to do that, that you are what you say you are. I mean, anybody can attempt to do it one time. Anybody can do it one time. Not to, like, downplay it, but to downplay it. I mean, it's, anybody can do it once. Let's see you do it twice. Let's see you do it three times, four times, five times, every night of the week. And then let's see where you're at.
Because if you have a hit, if the Bullet Club is such a hit, it should take over the world, right?
Well, I think it already technically has.
But I want people to remember something. Let's go back to the Attitude Era, right?
The Cursed Attitude Era?
The Cursed, the Sacred Attitude Era, right? So we're going to Google to see something. Sold out. And that's not, you know, the word, you know, selling out a building. It was a pay-per-view that WCW ran. Not actually, more specifically, that the NWO ran. And how bad did they do? The NWO, 1997, they were hot as anyone could be, right? This is where you say yes.
Yes.
Well, they were on top of the world. Everyone was wearing their t-shirts. They were such a huge success. Everyone was talking about NWO. What are they going to do next, right?
Mm-hmm.
They could only sell out an event with 5,000 people. The NWO, at its peak, with Hogan and Hall and Nash, not a WCW event, an NWO event. 5,000 people in Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Okay, well, that's Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
But again, it was still 5,000 people at its peak.
Oh, I know. I know. And that's why I'm curious what's prompting the decision to look in the markets that they're looking in is, like, have you had somebody do a study to identify where your main fan base is? Because that's another thing you need to take into account is, like, how many people are you targeting in that particular market? Like, so, okay, say, for example, you go to Chicago, right? Chicago's a big wrestling town. They'll go to anything with wrestling.
Right, and that's the home of the one-hour tees, pro wrestling tees. They'll get, you know, big promotion there. So you get the word out there. You can probably get 6,000 people there.
Well, no, okay, let me finish. So, okay, so say you go there. That's a big wrestling town. You're banking on everybody being really key. You're banking on basically the really informed wrestling fans to come out and come to the show. You're not necessarily targeting the casual fan because here's the thing. So, say you're a casual fan, okay? Hypothetically, this is everybody. Say you're a casual fan and, you know, you hear, if honestly, if it were me and it's like, oh, hey, Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks are coming to town. And hypothetically, say they're running, trying to think what a seat, but some 10,000 seat venue here in Atlanta. I'm sure there's some somewhere. But, you know, just an example, Phillips Arena, a little bit bigger than 10,000 seat, but it's the best example I have. Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks, they're running a show at Phillips Arena. Well, who all is going to be there? Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks.
Who?
Eh. How much are tickets? Eh.
$50.
I have to go downtown? Eh? I mean, it's one thing to sell a bunch of shirts, because it's really easy to buy a shirt online, especially from Hot Topic. It's really easy to do. Like, you know, you go on the website, you select the shirt, you select the size, you pay for it, boom, it's delivered to your door. Getting people to come to your show, that's infinitely harder to do.
Oh, yeah.
As we've seen with other promotions where they do have attendance problems. Even WWE is having attendance problems. Right now, your top draw is Cody and the Bucks, which for the very clued-in wrestling fans who know who they are, yeah, sure, they'll get really excited. They'll probably come. At least most of them will. But for the casual fan that doesn't really know who they are, it's like, why should I go? And that's the danger of this, is it's like you're walking in assuming everybody in the United States knows who you are based on what you've done in Japan, based on t-shirt sales, whatever.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. If they're on this whole campaign to prove themselves, right? They are, right? Cody and the Young Bucks. They want to prove how big of a draw they are, right? Then why is Cody Rhodes going around saying what he wants the main event to be? That's not them.
Create interest.
So is it really showing their drawing power? Or is it showing the drawing power of a hopefully released WWE superstar they hope to get? That's my biggest problem. If you're so hot, you don't need that guy. You should be able to do it on your own.
But to my point, I think Cody's realized, okay, we're going to do this. We need names beyond ourselves.
Then it's not really proving their point, is it?
No, but they're going to use it as a way to prove their point, where it's like, see, we sold the building. See, we're as big a draw as you said, because Cody will be in the main event. So it's like, see, I'm a draw. I can do this. And that's the thing that, like, I don't understand about this whole thing is, like, why do you need to prove this?
Because someone on Twitter said something, and then Dave Meltzer said, not anytime soon. And Cody Rhodes went, I'll take that bet, and that's where we're at. To trying to prove a point.
Do you really need to prove it, though? Is it worth it to prove it? I mean, again, yes, this could succeed. This could be huge for them. And I sincerely hope it is for all of their family's sakes. But say it's not. Say it fails. Miserably. This is going to do damage to not only their career, but their relationship with their promoting partners. Because like I said, this has rubbed some people the wrong way with them declaring that they're going to come into the U.S. and or they're going to come into the in England and they're going to do this.
By the way, you better not announce this building too early because you never know. The evil three-letter company, WWE, could come right into that town and shut you down. And then they'll bitch and moan that, oh my god, WWE ran the same town they did.
They booked their schedule 6 months in advance, y'all. If you can't book around their schedule, I'm sorry.
I can't wait for those tweets to come out. Spoiler alert, they will. And for reference point, their hopeful WWE superstar that gets released by the time they do their show is Daniel Bryan. So, there's that.
There's that. I mean, I would be interested to see if Daniel Bryan can still go, but I'm not interested enough to go to a show. I mean, that's the whole thing about this. This is me personally. This is not everybody, but it's just like there's nothing on that show, just from what I'm hearing right now, and I know that will change, that makes me want to go. It's like, why should I spend $35, $50, $100 on wrestling tickets when there's nobody I really want to see? It's like, would it be cool to see Daniel Bryan wrestle again? Yeah, sure it would. But you know what? I can watch him wrestle anytime I want on the WWE Network, on YouTube, on Tout, you know, wherever. It's like, all I have to do is Google search Daniel Bryan and, a billion results pull up. It doesn't fulfill me. It's not going to make my life complete seeing him get back in the ring again. It's just not. So I think that's a miscue. I think that's a misstep. But it's like, you know what's going to happen is if they get Bryan, and they do manage to sell it out, because of Bryan, because of that match, that they're going to proclaim it was all them. That he had nothing to do with it.
Pretty much, even though he would be the reason.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our thoughts, and that's a thing, and we'll see how it develops here going forward.
It is, but just, you know, what are your thoughts on it? Tweet us, email us, Facebook us, Rack Radio Show, RackRadioShow@WildTalkRadio.com.
Contact at RackRadioShow.com.
There we go.
Or, if you feel daring enough, 267-297-1397. You leave a voicemail anytime. We're going to make this more of a feature on the network. You can leave voicemails. But anyway, that's a topic for a different show. Hey, like Saturday Night Midnight-ish CB Radio.
And on that note, I say we take our second and final break of the evening. And when we come back, we're going to be talking all about SmackDown, NXT, and, well, we're even doing Tweet of the Week. You don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, believe it tonight, I do happen to have a bit of a show plan for you. I know. You're like, what? And I know it's a bit surprising, I know. And, you know, sometimes you just gotta bear with me, though. I got what you need.
Celebrating 10 years of CB Radio.
Hello? Who is this? My name's Erin.
Aaron? How you doing,
Aaron? O'Brien. I'm pretty good.
Ah.
What are you
you're
doing?
Ish. Well, we're what? Doing a radio show.
Am I talking about... I'm talking about radio season. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, you are.
Yeah, I am. I think you're lying.
No. I guarantee you. CB Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We've got a website and everything.
You're fucking lying. You're lying. You're
not lying.
Yes,
no.
You are. Yeah.
We've got commercials.
Wait,
look, play a commercial.
I don't want to play a commercial.
I'm Will. Ace knows Will.
Are you in Pennsylvania? Or Survivor?
No, I'm not in Pennsylvania.
Where are you?
I'm in Indiana.
No, you're not. You're in my fucking milk.
Have you... Have you ever heard of Evansville?
Evansville, Indiana?
Evansville.
Yeah,
Evansville, it's on a map.
Like a kid named Evan who built a castle. It's not Evansville.
No, it's not a castle. It's a city. If you look on
it's
a map.
It's a castle.
If you,
I have a
yes,
map.
Yes, I live in a.
Excuse me.
Well, You should tell Ace. You should let him use his computer. You should tell him, let me use your computer. I want to get on MapQuest.
I'm in a tent with a disco ball. I'm in a tent with a disco ball.
You are in a tent with a disco ball. Is it hanging up?
Yes. I'm in a tent with a disco ball. I'm not even drunk. I'm just in a really good mood. I promise.
You're not even drunk?
Yeah, I'm not even drunk.
Well, how about the voice?
I'm fine.
It really is.
Well,
it's my birthday.
Is it? Well, happy birthday. How old are you?
I'm 18 years old. I can guess wrong. I'm 18.
18? All right. That's a
but
good time to start drinking.
18. It is. I've been drinking since I was like 14. It's
what you been sipping on?
Yeah. You know, whatever.
What all is first supplying?
I don't even know what's going on right now. I'm just in a tent with a disco ball.
Join us for the 10-year celebration of your only excuse to be home on a Saturday night. CB Radio. December 2nd. Midnight-ish Eastern, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The Chosen One.
The journey of the Chosen One has begun in WWE 2K18. Follow his path from WWE NXT Hopeful to WWE Superstar to one day being WWE Hall of Famer. Watch the rise and fall of the Chosen One only at youtube.com/rackradioshow.
The Chosen One.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after the Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because the Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of the Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with the Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply thebomb.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, EC3.
This is TNA superstar EC3, unbeaten world heavyweight champion, and you are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com. Brought to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow Journey today at instagram.com/mbg1211. And if you're listening to us over at gerwick.net, wildtalkradio.com, or rackradioshow.com, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. Get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at fightbooth.com, because they're amazing and awesome, and you'll love them because we love them. Well, maybe you won't love them because we love them, but you'll love them because they're awesome. How about that? So if you're just tuning in, you missed the news, you missed the rare discussion. Wait, boys. Calm down. We don't need to be throwing hands. Calm down. We almost had a fight on the football field.
Can I hit the button now?
Tweet of the week!
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
All Alrighty. That is a guy dressed as a cowboy king. That is terrifying.
He reminds me of like those old 80s, 90s commercial with like the mattress king.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he reminds me. Or the car salesman that's dressed as a weird ass king. Yeah. You guys in Dallas are special. How about them, cowboy? Tweet us week, please.
Alright. So, Noam Dar, Hideo Itami. Hey man, let's be friends. Please don't kick me. Hashtag 205 Live. Noam Dar found out Hideo Itami is coming to 205 Live. He's scared for his life. Johnny Gargano. I've never been more thankful for more characters on Twitter than this very moment. And then he proceeds to write out Porg 32 times with the little Porg, actual Porg thing next to the word.
Nice.
Johnny Gargano. Was going to get Candice LeRae and Nintendo Switch for Christmas, but realized I would definitely play it as much as she does. So whose present is it really? Thinking face.
He could have bought two.
He could have bought two.
They could have bought two. Could bought two, could sync up, and they could play against each other.
I don't think that's a good thing.
Or is that a great thing?
I don't know. Coming to up, down, down. Johnny Gargano, 3.5 abs have been casualties of hashtag Thanksgiving and Candice LeRae's baking thus far. Hell! And it's a picture of 3 cakes of her making, and oh my god, they look delicious. Wow. Johnny Gargano. Already told the kids at the family gathering that Moana was based on a true story. A few hours into Thanksgiving, and I've come to the sad realization that I'm that uncle. And that's all I have.
Not SportsCenter. It's a Cowboy fan celebration. It's my August. We're going to win the Super Bowl. September, we're going to the playoff. October, we won a game. November, we scored points. Someone named Diane goes on Twitter, breaking, Malia Obama did not meet with Russians and then lied about it. That was someone else's spawn. Noah Syndergaard, Sports Illustrated called and said I was probably going to be Sportsman of the Year, but I was going to take a long photo shoot and interview. I'm not proud of my recent perm and have an interpretive dance class at the interview time, so I turned it down. No thanks, S.I. Mark Hamill. Time magazine called to say I definitely was going to be named Person of the Year, but I have to agree to leak major Episode 8 spoilers. I said no problem, but then they told me you turned it down, Donald Trump, and now I don't want it anymore. Thanks anyway.
Mark, you're a national treasure.
Not SportsCenter. Breaking. Minutes after Chip Kelly named head coach, UCLA has been eliminated from the 2018 playoff contention. His speed is Sami Zayn tweeted, as Heel Ziegler once famously told me, only marks pay for water. Meet Sweet Lady OKO, my loyal travel companion. She has saved me not only thousands of dollars, but it also reduced waste from thousands of bottles of water. Hashtag reduce, reuse, recycle. It's not a funny tweet, but I had to mention it because Kevin Owens replied, I saw him compose this tweet. He worked pretty hard on it. Used a filter and everything. Daniel Jeremiah. My wife sent me out to pick up a Christmas tree. I just left the store with a 10-foot inflatable Snoopy. I don't know what happened. Someone here could understand this. Not mentioning any name. Lindsay.
My boss bought the dragon.
So Donald Trump tweeted about CNN. What a shock. CNN replied, it's not CNN's job to represent the U.S. to the world. That's yours. Our job is to report the news. Hashtag facts first. Derek Gunn, the Chicago Bears are still in the tarmac in Philly. Their plane broke and they're waiting for another one to arrive. Glenn McGill replied, they've been stalled since 1 p.m. Yes, they were. Brian Myers, I'm pretty sure Luke Ellis and Carl Anderson are giving Don West a run for his money. Hashtag, yep. Jim Small, who is one of the guys who runs Progress. I don't see the big deal, really. Me and my two mates are self-financing a show in a 10,000-seat arena, too. Tweet is joke, guys. I hope that was evidence. It seems not. Also, we're three idiots doing Wembley. Well, two idiots and a sign. In case it needs clarifying, the crux of the original gag is the self-financing thing. Yes, well played. Cody Rhodes, dude who just served me eggs asked if I was Stardust. I said yes. He then asked me why I wasn't wearing my paint and he wasn't joking. Zack Ryder. So you are Stardust? I knew it. Remember when you blocked me on Twitter because I said you were? Zack Ryder. I'm sure Mojo Rawley thinks he just put me through the barbershop window. He couldn't be more wrong. Actually, I take that back. Mojo has no idea who the Rockers are. Burn. So WWE tweeted out something about the partnership between, about how the new Riot Squad beat down Charlotte on SmackDown, which we'll talk about here in a minute. Becky Lynch replied, two T's? The only ones with extra T around here is T Generation X. Am I right, Miss Charlotte? Hashtag spit it. And she replied, spit it as well. Or sip it, rather. Sip it. I don't know why I said spit. Sip it. Let's see. Bailey was tweeting about how awesome Peyton Royce is. Carmella goes, can we be friends again since Survivor Series is over? And I super kicked your face off. And then replied, I also think Peyton Royce is amazing. So we can agree on that, right, Bailey? Right? She wants to be friends again. Bay Mellon needs to reoccur, everybody. It needs to be a thing. Once again.
It definitely needs to be a thing.
But that's Tweet of the Week.
Alrighty, well, SmackDown?
Yeah, let's do the SmackDown Throwdown.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
this week's SmackDown Throwdown.
Yes! 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 Yes!
So, where do you want to begin? You want to talk about your boys first? Your bludgeon brothers?
My murder babies were on TV again. I'm very excited and happy and thrilled and oh my god. I'm just happy they're back on TV. Like legit. Back on TV, unshaven, and they're doing a thing. And they look like they're having fun with it. I couldn't be more thrilled. But basically, breaking things runs in the family because like Bray broke Matt Hardy on Monday Night Raw, the Bludgeon Brothers broke the Hype Bros permanently because they beat them down, picked up a win, and then, well, Mojo Rawley attacked Zack Ryder after the match.
Yeah, he laid a beating on Zack Ryder. Because you know, Lindsay, the landscape has changed.
The landscape has changed, and the landscape changed even more because that wasn't the only breakup tonight, or that night. Tuesday night, whenever SmackDown aired, that was not the only breakup because Jinder broke up with the Singh brothers after they lost to AJ Styles.
Well, apparently it's not a breakup. They're still traveling together, but he just put a whooping on them.
Oh, so he punished them.
Mm-hmm.
Kinky.
Pretty much. But yeah, they lost to AJ Styles and then Jinder was mad, so Jinder put a whooping on them and that's where that went.
Fair enough.
But I thought it was a decent angle. I don't know. It's if they split those two, that act up, it's like, what's the point? The only reason Jinder's getting over is because he has the things with him. They're the only thing that sort of, I don't know, keeps that group going.
Maybe.
They are. So it's like, they need each other. They all need each other. And apart, the things will flop, the Jinder will flop, and you go from there.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't think it's a good idea to split them up, but we'll see where it goes. We'll give it a chance. How about that?
Yeah. I have a question for you.
Okay.
What's the deal with New Day's pancakes?
I don't know, but I feel like it's such a waste of food because they're throwing perfectly good pancakes out. Like, that just doesn't seem like a good portable throw-to-the-crowd kind of food. I mean, cereal worked because you could dump it all over people, but, like, pancakes? Pancakes do not fly particularly well. I know they're round, but they're a little dense, so they don't fly well. And also, I think it's a little unhygienic that they were eating pancakes that came out of Big E's tights. I know they were between two plates, but still.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. But what was cool, though, besides getting away from the New Day stuff, the Owens-Orton match was really good as the main event for SmackDown.
It was. It was really, really, really good. Which you would expect from these two. I mean, honestly.
Sami Zayn was barred from ringside. It was a no-holds-barred match. So Sami, because it was ringside, they're up on the ramp. So Sami comes out and fights. And he does some of the weakest chair shots to Randy Orton's backside that you've ever seen.
Yeah, man. Sami Zayn cannot throw chair shots. He just really can't. He tried. He just can't. It was bad. It was really bad.
Yeah, they were really bad. Bad chair shots. Really bad chair shots. I know there's being safe, but it's like, oh, I'm just gonna tap you on the ass with these chairs.
Pretty much. That's pretty much what happened. I mean, it did, I guess, what it needed to do. I don't know, but it was just like, yeah, that was pretty weak. And I know Sami was trying to be careful and look out for Orton and everything. I appreciate that, but yeah, it was just like, ooh, that was bad. But the match was good. The match was fine.
The match was good.
I like how Shane McMahon kind of covered all his bases in this match, where he's like, okay, Sami Zayn is barred from ringside, and hey, now it's no DQ, so there's no reason why we shouldn't have a winner in this match.
Pretty much.
Because, damn it, I want a winner.
Pretty much. Now, you need to explain something to me.
Hmm.
Fashion saw?
Okay, what the hell?
I lean on you for this stuff. Go.
Okay, so this felt really mistimed and really kind of borderline inappropriate to me, and I'll put up with a lot of crap in wrestling, but it's like they did Stranger Things, and they did Stranger Things right around Halloween, which made sense, And then they do this, where it's like, it's going to be Saw. And you kind of sit there and you're like, Saw? Really? What? I mean, that's more of like a Halloween theme, especially for what they did, because, you know, okay. So you have Breeze and Dango waking up in this, essentially a bathroom, with the Ascension. And some poor intern got sent to the sex shop to get cuffs and chains so they could pseudo-chain them to the wall to do this.
They must have been listening to CB Radio Sex Toy Debate, available now at CBRadioLive.com.
They must have, although, again, whoever the writer is that's just getting their freak on, now they're just getting overt.
Get
like, blatantly
on.
Overt.
Right.
Like, you know, we have people getting punished on this show. We have people getting chained up. I mean, my God, what is going on SmackDown? So, anyway, so they're all in the room, and the little iPad flips on with the guy that's dressed up like Jigsaw, and he's like, you know, you must destroy the thing you love most to escape. You have 60 seconds to do it. Da 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 da. So, you know, the timer starts going, they start freaking out. Breeze comically immediately attacks Dango, thinking Dango had swallowed the key to the chains, when they all look in the middle of the room, and hey, there's a pile. And it's Fandango's horse. What's left of him.
I pop for the joke.
I did pop for the joke. So basically, somebody, I think it was Victor or it was Connor from the Ascension, goes, we need to beat this dead horse and get out of here.
Nothing like being a dead horse.
I mean, it's just like, okay, all right, that was cute. But so they pick through what's left of the horse and they get the key, and the Ascension give Dango and Breeze the key, and they escape, leaving the Ascension behind. And then Dango comes back. The Ascension is like, oh, you came back for us. You came back for us. And Dango grabs his hat and leaves. So the timer comes up and poisonous, in quotations, gas starts filling the room. And you just see Connor's hand in the, like, disappearing in the smoke gas stuff, and then it just falls, simulating that they were dead. Like, I don't know about this. I just don't know. You know, this feels really, really, really poorly timed for this time of year. Like, I think if you had done it a week after Halloween, it probably would have been okay, because you're still in that mindset. But having pushed it out past Thanksgiving and now heading into Christmas, I don't know. This just did not feel right. And it was like, that was, it got, it, and I know it's Saw, so it's supposed to be dark, but it was like dark to a whole new level of dark for the Fashion Files.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, this was kind of a miscue. I don't know about you.
I wasn't a big fan of it. I popped for the one joke, and that's about it. I liked Fashion Files when it was goofy and weird. But now we're getting into all the horror stuff. Just, eh. Get more comical with it. You know what I mean? Like, the Miami Vice stuff, that was funny.
Well, that's, I think, what got it over was, originally they were doing everything that had police in it. So they did Law and Order, they did Miami Vice, they did, I think they did Dragnet, or they did like every 30s gumshoe movie ever. You know, they did those kinds of things with it where it was funny. It was comical, like you said. And that's what got it over. And now they've moved into the movie realm, and it's, again, anything with a police officer, that's what they're going to do. Except for Saw. And it's just like, okay, all right, you want to do the horror thing. And like I said, week after Halloween, this would have been fine. A week after Thanksgiving, I don't know. I don't think it was a good idea.
Pretty much, yeah. That's about it.
But you know what was a good idea?
What's that?
The Riot Squad made their in-ring debut.
I enjoyed it.
I like how they're booking the Riot Squad out. I like how they're doing it. I feel like for this whole storyline where you've got two running simultaneously, is that they told Paige and the other two girls, oh, hey, yeah, we're totally going to give you something, and they gave them this. And then they looked at Ruby Riot and the others, and they're like, yeah, so, we're really actually just pushing you, and we're going to make you guys look legit and badass and serious, and you're going to be able to take everybody that you come in contact with down, and it's not going to be a problem.
Right.
Whereas Paige's group, it's like, yeah, maybe, until they came up against Asuka, and it's like, what are you, stupid? She will kill you.
She will kill you and your little dog too.
Right? But yeah, this was fantastic.
This was fantastic. Liv is an interesting case, playing a heel. But I want to see it work. I think she's, what, the loose cannon of the thing? She's the ticking time bomb? Is how they're calling her, basically?
I feel like Liv is, like, the decoy. Like, Liv's the sweet-looking one that they send in and they lure people, like, she lures people into this false sense of security, and then Ruby and Sarah show up and just beat the crap out of everybody. Like, I feel like that's how that goes. Because she's got those big eyes and those pouty lips and everything that she's like, yeah, come here, come a little bit closer, whack.
Pretty much that's where Sarah Logan comes in and just beat your ass.
I'm fine with that. I like that they're being taken more seriously than Absolution.
Yeah.
Which again, that's a horrible, horrible name for people who are beating people up for no apparent reason, other than because they can. It's like, so wait, they're literally beating the forgiveness into them? Is that it?
Pretty much, yeah.
So yeah, I feel like the Riot Squad is getting the better part of the storyline, which I'm totally cool with.
Totally okay with. But I think that, in a nutshell, SmackDown... Oh, one more thing on SmackDown. Bobby Roode and Baron Corbin look to be in a program for the U.S. title.
I approve.
So there you go. So that's SmackDown.
NXT?
Let's have the NXT rundown.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT rundown.
We need to make an honorable mention for NXT since we didn't do it last week because we taped on Tuesday.
Yes. Yes, we do.
It was Pete Dunne and Johnny Gargano. Go.
Okay. If you didn't see this match, you need to go watch it. It's fantastic. I just have one really negative, it's not even really negative, but negative comment about it. Y'all messing with that mouth guard after it fell out of Pete's mouth, y'all are nasty. Okay? That was gross. I don't want to see that being handled on my TV because that was just nasty. Everything else about this match was fantastic. There was beautiful storytelling in this, great wrestling. They have wonderful chemistry together. I want to see more between these two because I feel like they really didn't get the opportunity to hit high gear, but they still put on a really fantastic match.
The storytelling over the fingers and mouthpiece was fantastic.
It was great.
It was really fantastic. They put on a hell of a show. But the Brits weren't done this week. We saw the Brits in action on NXT this week. It was Seven and Bate versus Dunn and Mark Andrews.
Sometimes I really wonder, because for those of you that aren't aware, Pete Dunn, Trent Seven, and Tyler Bate are a team in England. They're a trio. But here in the States, it's a tag team and a singles. Sometimes I wonder how Pete Dunne got mixed up with those two little bundles of sunshine. I really do. It's like Snarly McSnarlson, he hates everybody, somehow gets mixed up with a literal embodiment of everything sweet and adorable in Tyler Bate. Like, how did that even happen? I don't even know. But this was really good. And also, I'll just take Trent any way I can get him. I mean, honestly, can he just come over permanently? Please? Please? Pretty please? Sugar on top? Be okay with that. I'd be fine with that.
Also on this show, the Street Profits beat, again, Tito Sabatelli and Riddick Moss. Right? I think that's his name. Yeah. Moss and Sabatelli. The match was okay.
It was fine. And no complaints.
We also had Peyton Royce and Kairi Sane.
This was good.
Very enjoyable. This was taped. These matches were all taped prior to NXT TakeOver. These were done in San Antonio. Just for a reference point. They had a good match. Kairi Sane got the win. You know, solid match.
I will say the show felt a little bit more indie-rific, but I like that. Because you get the intimacy of how small the NXT shows are.
Oh yeah, it had a different feel to it. Because again, they had no other choice. It's one of those, hey, we need content, so we're going to film it this week. But the show was fun. It was a fun little show. It got everything it needed to accomplish. And from all accounts, and I'm talking about all accounts, the next few weeks of TV, some really good stuff is coming. And I mean really good stuff.
I can't wait. I'm super excited.
There's going to be a lot of long competitive matches on the show that are things I heard, some of the best matches ever at Full Sail.
And that's a pretty high standard to live up to.
Oh yeah.
Just saying.
So yeah, that was NXT. It wasn't the best show, wasn't the worst show. It's like next week starts everything. Next week starts the build to TakeOver.
Woohoo!
So that's the show.
That's the show in a nutshell. So, well, you got stuff to plug, so.
Do I ever.
Plug away.
Saturday night, midnight-ish, CB Radio Live, CB Radio 10, the 10-year spectacular. There's a countdown clock on CBRadioLive.com. What does it all mean? We will give you the answer. Maybe. Saturday night, midnight-ish. CB Radio Live, Facebook, Twitter, and .com. Check, make sure you follow CB Radio on Twitter, because daily I'm posting content related to the Greater Than Great Debate of the Week, which is the greatest moments in CB Radio history. Vote now, CB Radio Live, on the Twitters for all the pertinent information regarding CB Radio 10. When talking about CB Radio 10, use the hashtag CB Radio 10. Sunday at Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern at WTR Sunday Night on Facebook and Twitter. Monday night at the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. Tuesday night, twitch.tv/rackradioshow at 11:15 p.m. Eastern. It's WTR Sims Archives, available at youtube.com/rackradioshow, where you'll see daily original content right there at youtube.com/rackradioshow. We'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of Rack right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, 10 p.m. Eastern. Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play. We're all over the place. It is a Rack Radio Show at Wild Talk Radio and facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter at Lins Ward, LNSWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you'd like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/Lins Ward, same as the Twitters. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsors, Wrestling Figure Photography, Instagram.com/MBG1211, Gerwick.net, and Fightboot.com. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.